This is Joe Ferrello, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, The Ascension of Christ.
This is not a trick question. You can call it out if you know the answer. What's December 25th the celebration of? What? Okay, I knew you should have all gotten that right. You sounded a little tenuous, but okay. What's this date? What's May 10th? What? Ascension Day. Everybody know that? If you went to the Amish market at any time over the last 2 weeks, you would see that they will be closed on Ascension Day this Thursday, May 10th. We don't celebrate Ascension Day. We don't, for the most part, even think about, thank you, even think about Ascension Day. And that's the reason for my sermon this morning. I want you to understand why it's important to recognize that day and what the meaning of that day is to you. The Ascension of Jesus Christ. A scholar wrote this: the life of Jesus Christ can be told in part as four great miracles. The incarnation, that's his coming to earth as a child. The resurrection, the ascension, and his second coming. He goes on to write, the ascension is the event in which Christ departed visibly in his new resurrected body and returned home to heaven. When his earthly work was complete, he entered into his heavenly ministry. With that of a background, this is what I want to talk to you about this morning. So let's turn in our text, Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Let's stand together for the reading. Acts chapter 1, 9 to 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up with a cloud, received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in the manner, and ye have seen him go into heaven. Thank you. May be seated. Thank you, Coach Timmy. Forgive my voice. The ascension was prophesied in Scripture. Psalm 68:16 says, thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Jesus went up into heaven. Where's heaven? Up. It's up. Way past the northern star. Some empty place out in the universe. If you were able to shoot yourself through it, and you will one day. Shoot yourself through it. Heaven's up there. Where's hell? Hell's down. That's what the Bible said. You can't get around it. Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. After the ascension, Ephesians 1:20 says that God seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places. That's where Jesus is right now. He's there in heaven with the Father. Jesus taught he would ascend into heaven. John 6:22. What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? He went home. The ascension occurred 40 days after the resurrection, hence May 10th. Why did Jesus wait 40 days to go home? Let me give you some reasons. Acts 1:3. To whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. One of my favorite words in that verse is the word infallible. It's the same word that can be applied to the scripture. And what it means is incapable of error, not liable to mislead, deceive, or disappoint, certain. What he demonstrated to the people at his time for those 40 days was beyond any question that he had risen from the dead. I love that word infallible as it applies to the truths of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and as it applies to this book, a book without error. You don't correct it. It corrects you. It corrects me. It corrects scholars. Jesus also wanted to give more instruction to his disciples concerning their new faith in light of the fact that he was dead, that he was buried, and that he rose. The Bible says that Jesus experiences all the things that we do. And I'm just imagineering right now. I imagine now that he said, "It is finished," on the cross, now that he had accomplished all the things that he needed to accomplish to fulfill his mission, I just wonder if he was itching to get home. You know how it is when you're on vacation sometimes. Vacation's wonderful, but now you're ready to go home. When you leave, there's something special about home. To a certain extent, you get homesick. And I just wonder, there's no scripture to back it up, but I just wonder if in his humanity, Jesus felt kind of homesick and ready to go. Why is the recognition of the ascension an important teaching? Because of what happened afterwards. What happened after he ascended into heaven. And here are 8 things I want to share with you this morning that are important results. The first is taken from John 16:7. He says this, "If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you." 50 days, that's where the word Pentecost comes from, 50 days after the resurrection and 10 days after the ascension, the Holy Spirit came down like a wind from heaven and began to indwell men and women who had put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, beginning with the disciples in the upper room. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit indwelt men and women only for a particular mission, only for a short period of time, and then he left. Most of the time what you read is that he came upon them, but every so often you read that he entered them, but then he goes. Now, when the Holy Spirit came 2,000 years ago and indwelt the first believers, beginning with the disciples, he made a promise that he would never leave us again. He is the indwelling presence of God. He is using us as his temple. You are his ambassador. You are his carrier. You are the one who has the Holy Spirit living inside you. And so when the Lord left, he promised certain things. And one of them was that when he goes, he would not leave us comfortless, but he would provide the Holy Spirit. You know that that's true because you have felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. When we gather together like this as a body of believers, Jesus said, "Where 2 or 3 of you gather together, there I am." That comprises the church. On your own, you're a believer in Jesus Christ. On your own, you're a Bible-believing Christian. On your own, you are a member of the church. When we come together, we are the church. Secondly, John 14:2. "I go to prepare a place for you." He had to go home. What's he doing? He's building. Now, you know how I feel about some of these translations that basically said, "In my Father's house are many rooms." I don't buy that. I buy what that book says. In my Father's house are many mansions. Under the umbrella of heaven, under the umbrella of God's heavenly home, you have a mansion being built for you. Now, I lived in an apartment almost all my life until Gina and I, well, even when we got married, we lived in an apartment for years. Didn't have a house till we moved out to Staten Island. There's a big difference between an apartment and a house, and God's not stingy. You're getting a mansion, so get ready. And that's where he is. Third, John 14:3 says, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." What's he pointing to? He's pointing to the rapture. The day is coming. It could be any moment now. All the necessary ingredients are in place for the rapture. Are you ready? Are you excited? Yeah, amen. I'm excited about it. I know that the day is going to come when I'm going to hear a sound and then I'm not going to see anything because I'm going to be moving so fast northward. And you are too. We're going to be a blur in the universe. The Bible said, in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, when Jesus ascended, he didn't go fast. You read the text and it says that he watched, that the disciples watched him ascend. He wanted to make sure they got the picture, that they realized he was doing something supernatural. What was it? He was defying the natural law of gravity. He had a body that could do that now. And so he came up off the mountain and up he went, and they watched him, and it became impregnated in their mind that Jesus has gone to be with his Father. Acts 1:11, which we read as our text, the angel says, "This same Jesus which is taken up from you in heaven, so shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." The way he left is the way he's coming back. We're going to be raptured out of here. He's not going to touch his feet. I'm not going to touch the earth at that point. But when he comes back a second time, after 7 years of tribulation on the earth, we're coming back with him. He's going to come back probably to the same place he left. Ephesians 1:22, "And gave him to be the head over all things to the church." One of the reasons that Jesus ascended into heaven is to be the invisible head of this body of believers, the church. I remember when Pastor Landis was our pastor, and I was, and others of you were members at that time, people would say to me, "Oh, you go to George Landis's church." Some people might say to you, "Oh, you go to Pastor Bob's church." No, you go to Christ's church. You go to Jesus' church. He's the head of this church. Who's in charge of this church? Jesus. We serve him. We don't raise ourselves up to be anybody. We serve a risen Savior, Jesus Christ. It's his church, and boy, am I glad for that. Fifth, Hebrews 4:14-16 says, "Because he's in heaven, we have a great high priest in heaven." That's Jesus. He's in heaven interceding for you. Let me give you a very short condensed list of some of the things he's praying for you about. He's praying for grace for you in time of need. When Joni lost her dear cat, and again, I know for some people maybe hearing this over the radio, that might sound funny, but he's given her an extra measure of grace be able to deal with that loss and the difficulty that she's going through currently in her life, that you've had in your life, that when you've gone through difficult times of need, that I've had in my life when I've gone through difficult time, I knew he was there. Sometimes I didn't hear his voice. Sometimes I didn't feel his presence. But there are some cloudy days I don't see the sun. But I never lose sight of the fact that the sun is there. Behind the clouds. You may be going through some dark times, but don't ever lose sight of the fact that God's there, that he's watching over you. He is more sure than the sun behind the clouds. Grace in times of need. Strength when we are weak. Is it ever possible that we need some strength to go through some of the trials that we're going through? Are there ever some challenges too big for you within your own limits and abilities? Are there some obstacles so big you can't get over them, so deep you can't get under them, so wide you can't get around them? But let me tell you, when you get to an obstacle that big, that wide, and that deep, there is one who can give you the strength to break down the giants, to hurdle the walls, to get past those difficult, dark days. You've got them. Jesus Christ, his strength, victory over temptation and sin. Without Christ, we would fall every 5 minutes. As it is, we fall pretty much every day, don't we? But he, as time goes on, enables us to get victory and victory and victory and victory. We may not win a battle, but we certainly have won the war because Christ has gone before us. Courage. He's praying for courage for you to be able to witness for him. You pray for a divine opportunity. He'll make the divine opportunity. He'll give you the words. He'll give you the courage to be able to speak the name of Jesus. But above all, the thing you can do without ever opening your mouth is to live in such a way that people will see Christ in you. Amen? You don't have to say a word. But when they want to know why you're the way you are, you can have the courage from the Lord. He's praying about it. And then he's praying that you might grow in your faith. You shouldn't have the same faith you had when you were a kid going to Sunday school. Your faith should have grown. You shouldn't know the same amount of things you knew about God and the Word that you did 20 years ago. Your faith should be 20 years stronger, 20 years deeper, 20 years wider. You should have more knowledge, more wisdom, more understanding than you did 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, a year ago. And that's not up to me. It's up to me for me, but it's up to you for you. 6, Revelation 19, 15 and 16. It says he ascended in order to return to reign over the earth, as those verses say, as King of kings and Lord of lords. We look around our world today, and on one hand, all we hear is peace. We think we're going to have a peace treaty with North Korea. We think things are improving with China. We think that we've defeated all these enemies. We think things are looking rosy. The Bible tells us that in the world, it's going to get worse. The Bible tells us that there are going to be kings from the east that are going to be attacking Jerusalem. That's a whole sermon. It's a whole Bible study. But things are happening out in that area that have God's fingerprints on them. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the Bible says. And this week is going to be a monumental day coming up. And that's when the United States moves its embassy to Jerusalem, recognizing them. By the way, that's a fulfillment of a biblical prophecy. You need to know that. Jesus' reign for 1,000 years when he returns will usher in an age of worldwide righteousness where people do things for the right reasons. Justice, we look around and we say, where is the justice in what's going on in our own country today? We're looking for some people who have committed crimes who are in top offices getting convicted. So far, the only people who get convicted are the little guys like you and me. We'd like to see some of our politicians face what they've done. And then worldwide peace, prosperity, spiritual growth, happiness, love. They will mark what government looks like for 1,000 years. They will mark what it means to be a monarch, a God who loves us. 7, 1 Peter 3:22. He ascended into heaven for a coronation. The verse says, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God? Angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. When Jesus went home to heaven, all of the things that he gave up to come here, he regains up there. He is King of the universe, Lord of lords up there. The angels bow to him, and someday every knee will bow in heaven and earth, even Satan's. Question for you, what was the last thing Jesus did on earth before he ascended into heaven? Answer, Luke 24:50. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them, his disciples. He lifted up his hands and he prayed a blessing on them. That was a very unique thing. It was something that was always done in the Old Testament. Fathers would pray a blessing on their children. And Jesus prayed a blessing on his children. You know, you can't outgive the Lord. And when he blesses, he pours out his blessings. He sets a very wide table of blessing for you. Again, he's not stingy. He showers you with his blessings. He hasn't just given you one thing by which you are blessed. He's given you many things. In fact, the scripture says that he pours upon you and me many blessings. Christian author F.E. Marsh once listed some of God's blessing upon God's children. That's you and me. Here's a short list. Ephesians 1:16, an acceptance that can never be questioned. God has accepted you as his child. You are his with your flaws. You are his with your faults. You are his with your strengths and with your weaknesses. He has accepted you the way you are and wants to turn you into what he has envisioned you to be. That's up to you. That's up to me. on the basis of how much we submit to him. He wants all of us. He wants us to be all in when it's our turn to be submissive to him. He wants to rule our life and give us a quality of life we never would have had on our own without him. 1 Peter 1:3-5, an inheritance that can never be lost. The blessings that come upon us from heaven can't be lost. 2 Corinthians 1:10, a deliverance that can never be excelled. Deliverance from sin and Satan's. Nobody else could ever do for us what Jesus has done for us in that regard. 2 Corinthians 12:9, a grace that can never be limited. Grace and mercy unlimited for you and for me. Grace, that which is undeserved, unmerited favor. There's nothing you can do for it. You can't earn your way to salvation. You can't do anything to keep your salvation because there was nothing you could do to get it. It was a gift. And God's not a giver who takes back his gifts. Hebrews 6:18-19, a hope that can never be disappointed, a deep-seated assurance that all the things that God's promised, he will do. Colossians 3:21-23, a bounty that can never be withdrawn. I said it earlier, you can never outgive the Lord. Whatever your needs are, he will meet and exceed those needs. You have emotional needs, God wants to meet them. You have physical needs, God wants to meet you at the point of your need. Wherever it is that you have a need, God wants to meet you at that point of need. He'll give you whatever it is that you need to get through today. And I can promise you that. That's one of the things I used to say to patients at Hagedorn Hospital when I was a chaplain up there. That God will give you whatever it that you need today to get through today. How do I know? Because I'm standing here. How do you know? Because you're sitting there. Hasn't he done that? Hasn't he met your needs? Hasn't he gotten you through day by day all the issues that you've had up until this point? Yes, amen. Who got you through it? The Lord. You couldn't have made it on your own. I hear it so many times. I don't know how I could have done or how I can do what I'm doing without God's help. I don't know what I would have done without the Lord. John 15:11, a joy that can never be diminished. A joy unspeakable and full of glory, the Bible says. A joy that transcends whatever circumstance you're going through. When God does not change the circumstances, he changes you. But the one thing that never changes is that deep-seated joy. Ephesians 2:13, a nearness to God that can never be reversed. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. In John 14:27, a peace that can never be disturbed. And 2 Corinthians 5:21, a righteousness that can never be tarnished because you're hiding and you're clothed in his righteousness. And Hebrews 5:9, a salvation that can never be canceled. You have the assurance of your salvation. If you have asked Christ to forgive you of your sin and asked him to come into your heart, and asked the Holy Spirit to enter into your body, and you said that prayer, you meant that prayer, and the Holy Spirit's coming in, he's never going to leave you. You cannot lose your salvation. Why? Because you were born again. When you were born again, you were born to be a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ. You cannot be unsonned. You cannot be undaughtered. You may not get along with your children. You may throw your kids out of the house. But the truth is, they're your kids. No matter what you think, no matter what you do, no matter what I do, no matter what I say, I am his child. And he's not letting me go, and he's not letting you go. Praise God, amen? What a difference there would be in your life if you could forget your troubles as easily as you forget your blessings. Think about it, I'll say it again. What a difference there would be in your life if you could forget your troubles as easily as you forget your blessings. What a difference in your life would be if you could remember God's blessings in the midst of your troubles. Amen. The beauty of the ascension is that God came from heaven to earth as a humble baby. Then he left earth and returned to heaven as the exalted conqueror. And guess what? This is the best part of the whole story. He's coming back. He's coming back. As it says in the last verse of Revelation, come, Lord Jesus, quickly come. Maranatha. Let's pray. So, Lord, as we approach Thursday, a day we've probably hardly ever thought of, and I haven't preached as directly as I have today, help us to remember it's the day that you began your heavenly ministry, that you're praying for us, that you're watching over us, that you're preparing for the moment the clock strikes 12 to step out of the clouds, allow the trumpet to sound, and take all of us home. We're looking forward to that day with anticipation. Help us to have a sense of urgency for those who do not know Jesus Christ, who are in our life, to have that holy boldness, the courage you're praying for us to have, to be able to speak up to those who do not know Jesus, to give them an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ spoken through our lips because they've seen our lives. And then, Lord, we pray for souls. We pray, Lord, that you would go before us as you give us a divine appointment. Go before us and speak to the hearts of those who do not know you. We pray, Lord, that you would soften their ears and soften their hearts, that when the gospel goes forth, that they will receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're not willing that any should perish, Lord. But the Bible also says in Romans, how can they hear unless someone tells them? And Lord, you've left that up to us, not the missionaries alone, not the evangelists alone, not the preachers alone, but we're going to come in contact with more people who will never enter this church, but will meet us. And we are your ambassadors. Give us that boldness, Lord. Give us that heart's desire. Give us that passion, Lord. Give us that compassion, Lord, to love enough to be able to break through our inertia. And I pray all these things in the one who ascended and the one who will soon descend. In Jesus' name, amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.